Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and our brother Rick Tyler is not back yet, but we hope to have him back here very soon. If you're listening to this broadcast live, we want to welcome you, and you can catch us here on New Visions Radio every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific. I'm really glad you're with us here this evening, and if you are listening live, if it's recorded, if you're listening to this after it's been recorded, then this may not have the same impact on you, but if you're listening live, then we are here in the United States and worldwide going through a pandemic. And most of us by now are very familiar with the coronavirus, and at the time of this recording, which is in March 29th is when we're broadcasting and recording this, on March 29th, 2020, there's actually, we're on kind of a self-quarantine type of deal here in the United States. Here in the state of Virginia, we are limited to, at this point, 10 people meeting in a group. So when we meet at Prophecies of Hope, we keep it to 10 or less. Even when we have the Bible study, we try to keep it to that. But we have a means by which you can tune in and stream. So if you would like to tune in and join us for worship, I apologize if you heard my phone. I just received a text. But if you, if you'd like to tune in and listen in, you can stream at prophecyhope.com. And we would love to have you tune in with us. Also, on Wednesday nights, we have a Bible study every week at the Prophecies of Hope Church, 1743 West Beverly Street, at least for now. And friends, you know, I don't want this to be scary to you. While it's difficult times, you know, we're told in the Bible that sometimes these things would happen, that the closer we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, we can expect that things will become more and more difficult. I don't know if that's the time yet. You know, nobody knows the day or the hour. That's made very clear in Scripture. But, you know, this should prepare us for more difficult times, which I'm sure we will have in the future. And that's not meant to scare you. I don't like scaring people into Bible study or coming to church. It should comfort you to know that our Lord Jesus will come, that these things are just temporary. Even if we live out the rest of our days here in this world, if Jesus doesn't come in our lifetime, we have a marvelous hope as Christians, looking forward to the coming of Jesus, living with Him and His Father for eternity, and having the new earth recreated. It's just going to be a beautiful, beautiful time. You know, Jesus in Matthew 5:5 said that the meek would inherit the earth, and I really look forward to that. I look forward to meeting our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ face to face. And I hope that you're excited about that too. But take heart. You know, don't be afraid of the things that are going on. Follow the directions of your governmental leaders, so long as it doesn't go against what God has commanded us to do. They're doing it for our own good. Just listen to them. Stay in as much as you can. Keep that safe distance until all of this passes over. And again, if you're listening to this at a later date when it's been recorded, I apologize for taking your time, but think about those things, because we probably will have much greater tests than this that will come up. But anyway, again, my name is Mark Martin. If you'd like to email me, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. mark@prophecyhope.com. That's my email address. Our brother Rick, you can reach him at rick@prophecyhope.com. We also want to take a moment and thank our friend Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to stream here every week and for putting our programs in rotation. You know, this has affected just about every means of broadcasting you can imagine, because people are not allowed to go to their studios a lot of times, or they're locked into their home. If they're related to somebody that's had the coronavirus, we have to do this from our homes, or we can still go to the church and use the studio there, but I'm actually recording this in my office here at my house, and that's where we're broadcasting from right now. So I just hope that everything sounds okay. I hope the sound quality works well. And again, you can catch us here every week, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific. Also, we want to remind you that on our website, prophecyhope.com, there are many sermons. You can tune in there and go to the website. We have a YouTube channel. You can go there and you can watch. There's, I think, right at 300 different sermons, various sermons about a lot of different topics. Some of them I have given, some of them Rick has given, some of them our brother Ed Short has given, and we've had a couple of guest speakers from time to time. Also on the website, you can find newsletters that we've written. And if you would like any Bible study materials or if you have any Bible questions, please email us and we'll make sure that we try to get to those as soon as possible as far as the Bible questions, and we'll get some literature out to you. If you'd like to have an online Bible study or a Bible study through mail correspondence, we can do the online Bible studies, believe it or not, in real time. I do that with several people right over the internet where we see one another. Technology is just amazing these days. But friends, this evening what we're going to do is we're going to listen to a sermon that I gave that's entitled, What's in Your Heart? And that's a really good question that we all should do a self-examination and think about what is in our heart. You know, what's going on in there? Because God reads the heart. So we really need to, each person, including myself, we have to do a self-examination. And I hope you enjoy that sermon. We'll play it here in just a moment. Also, I want to tell you that coming up this year in 2020 in September 28th through October the 3rd, we will have a Bible prophecy series where we're going to go through a whole list of different topics, and they're very interesting. And I really think you would enjoy that if you tune into that. We will be streaming that from September 28th through October 3rd, God willing, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time each evening. And we will be streaming that live, and we will also be recording that and putting those on the website as well. So I'm just looking over my notes here. It looks like I've pretty much covered everything. If you are in the Stanton, Virginia area and these restrictions have been lifted, we would love for you to join us for worship. And we meet there on every Sabbath morning, every Saturday morning. We meet at 9:30 for Sabbath school. That's when we begin the stream at prophecyhope.com. And we also have a worship service that begins at 11 a.m. every Sabbath or Saturday morning. So please join us. Join us next week as we, or actually it'll be this week, the end of this week on the seventh day. Join us next Sabbath as if you have time or you'd like to tune in. You're locked into your home, very likely. I don't know if that'll still be here and when Sabbath comes, but if it is, we'd love for you to tune in. But in the meantime, let's have a prayer, and then we'll listen to this sermon, and then we'll come back for a few closing remarks. So let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we recognize that the times that we're living in are difficult times, and it's difficult for everyone. And Father, we just ask for your Spirit to be with us. Help us to not be afraid, but to learn to depend on you. And Father, we just ask that you will help us to focus on your word, the Bible, and recognize that if we put our hope in you, there's really nothing to worry about in this world. There is nothing that can separate us from your love. And we just thank you so much for all you do for us. So as we listen to this sermon, please be with us. Help us to have open minds and open hearts. May the things that are said glorify your name and not any person other than you and your Son. And Father, we're grateful for every gift. We pray now again for your Spirit, and we say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, we'll start that sermon. We'll come back with a few closing remarks. Again, the title of the sermon is What's in Your Heart?
The title that I chose for my sermon is What's in Your Heart? You may see on television, you'll see a commercial where somebody asks, what's in your wallet? Well, probably any one of us knows what's in our wallet at any given time. Now, sometimes we may have to open and look, but I'm pretty sure that you know where your ID is. You know how much money is in there. You know how many credit cards, or if there are any. There might be some really important receipts or really important notes or things that you've put in your wallet that are very important to you and very precious to you. If you lost your wallet today, what would happen? You'd probably be in a state of panic. I know I would. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had misplaced my wallet, And my heart nearly came out of my chest because I'm thinking, all of those things that are in there, you know, I've got to call the credit card company, the cash that I had, my driver's license, my Virginia safety inspection license, all of these things. Now I've got to go through all of this trouble to try to get back all of the things that I may have lost. So when they ask, what's in your wallet? You probably have a good idea. And it's probably something that's very important to you. But today we're asking the question, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? And I thought about this past week. I had the opportunity to witness to several people this past week. And in a Bible study sort of setting, I was talking with someone and we started looking at some of the texts in the Bible that have to do with what's in your heart. And as we went through those things, I made the statement, you see, God wants your heart. That's what he wants. He wants your heart. And so let's look at some of these things as we go through. And one of the things that made me really think about this was, and Ed mentioned it, I was tuned in last week for Sabbath school, and Ed mentioned the fact that he had a colleague, I think it was either a colleague or maybe it was someone who was a patient of his. I think it was a patient who said, hey, why don't we go to see such and such a movie? I don't know what it was. He never told us. And if you recall, Ed went to the movie really not having an idea, it seemed, of what it was going to be about or the content of the movie. And as he sat there, he said he was watching this movie and he felt really uncomfortable because of some of the things, the content that was in the movie. And he became so uneasy, he didn't know whether he should get up and leave and risk offending his friend. He didn't know what to do. But the point is, what was in his heart? Whatever was in there was bothering his conscience. It was bothering his heart. Well, he went on to tell, and he had told me this weeks before he shared it with you all, when they left the theater, this was a long time ago, as far as I know, a long time ago, when they left the theater, they somehow got to talking about that situation. And Ed had mentioned how uncomfortable he felt in there, and he didn't know whether he should get up and leave or not. Well, come to find out, his friend said the same thing. He was thinking the same thoughts that Ed was thinking. They were embarrassed that they sat there and watched that movie. They were embarrassed by the content of what was there. And the thing is, they weren't embarrassed because of what the other person necessarily thought, but they were embarrassed within themselves that they were sitting there watching this. And sometimes when we're with someone else, it can intensify that because now we're worried about, well, what are they thinking about me? What's that person thinking about my heart? Or the things that I would do, the movies that I would watch. So how do we get to this point to where Ed was, to where he said, I was really uncomfortable and I wanted to leave? How do we get there? Because sometimes we'll sit there and we'll start watching something and then the worse it gets, we become callous to it. And I've used this illustration before. You know, Rick and I, when we were outside one time, we were working on the sign. We were busting up the concrete for the sign and we rented a jackhammer. And at the beginning of the day, you know, I started off and I was using that old jackhammer and I was doing really good. Well, as the day went on, I got these blisters on my hand, and it started to hurt. So I got some gloves, and I kept going. Well, days later, it was really sore. But you know, after that, what happened? Those blisters eventually turned into calluses. So now I could grab that jackhammer, and I could use it if I needed to at that point, because my skin had been desensitized to the work, to the hammering of that jackhammer. Our conscience and our hearts can be the same way. We have to be careful that we don't become calloused because of the way the world is around us. So the question is, what's in your heart? And how do we get to where the things that are in our heart motivate us to make the right choices and to leave a situation regardless of the company that's with us, regardless of what they might think, regardless of the embarrassment that we may have to suffer getting up and leaving and thinking, well, that person might think that I'm a prude. How do we get to that point? How do we get there? Well, I'd like to share a text with you And the text that I'm about to share with you is one that's a lot of times it's used for a completely different reason than what we're going to look at it today. We're going to touch on that reason just for a moment because it's in the text, so we'll talk about it. But take a look at this. This is found in Matthew chapter 15 on the PowerPoint. Matthew chapter 15 in verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.'" So this comes up. A lot of people come to this text for a particular reason, as you'll see in just a moment. So the concern with these men was, what? They're transgressing the tradition of the elders. They're not worried necessarily about what God has to say. And we'll see that as we go through. Notice the next verse. It says, "He," that's Jesus, "answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition.'" And this can happen to any one of us. Sometimes we'll go along with the traditions of men rather than the commandments of God. And so here Jesus is making it clear that they're overstepping the commandment of God when they ask him what they did. Well, because remember, here's the question. I'm going to back up. Why do your disciples, in verse 2, transgress the tradition of the elders? For they're not washing their hands before they eat. And then Jesus questions them. Well, you're going beyond the commandments because you're actually breaking the commandments, but you're washing your hands according to tradition. Well, let's keep going. Verse 7, Jesus says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So they speak good. They say the right things. But what was removed from him? The heart. In other words, I can put on a facade. I can make it look like. I can stand up here and say nice things about Corey or Yvonne or Pamela or Mary or Miss Charlotte. I can say nice things about everybody here, and inside I can be thinking something totally different. That's a horrible thing. I wouldn't do that. Not intentionally. I think most of you that know me know I pretty much speak my mind. Sometimes I have to say things that are a little harsh, and I have to learn to temper that. But it says here in this text, look at it again, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips." So they're saying all of the right things, but their heart is far from me. So if we're not teaching, if we are rather teaching anything other than what the Bible teaches, if we're acting in any way contrary to where what this says our behavior should be, then we are in this category of perhaps speaking but not living up to it. And you know, sometimes when we study the Bible, we may look at a text and we might say, well, I see what it says, but do we believe it for what it says? Do we accept it? You know, that's one thing that I commented this morning when you guys kind of covered this information already in Sabbath school. And Rick had mentioned how God's Spirit is what directs us. And I want to make this clear. The same Spirit that directed the writings of these books of the Bible, the same Spirit that directed this, is what directs us today. Isn't that true? It's no different. But for some reason, we minimize that. We minimize it. We read this and we think, well, this is what this says. Okay, we pray for understanding. God gives us an understanding. And if that same Spirit is directing us that directed this, then we're going to be completely in line with this. Every time. And if we think something different, if there are those who are believing something and they're going strictly by the Bible, and we're thinking something different than what the Spirit of God is directing us to believe here, then what Spirit is directing us? I had to send that text this morning. Because if we're fighting it, or we're trying to misapply a scripture, or we're trying to find an excuse to sit there at that movie, Ed wasn't looking for an excuse. He just didn't quite have the boldness. But you know, I guarantee you that Ed is in a position today to where if he were put in that same position, he would say, "Brother, I can't sit here and watch this. I have to go." That's growth. And that happens to all of us. You know, we're all in a different place today than we were a week ago or a month ago or a year ago. We're all growing. Dad's comment this morning, no two people are in the exact same place. No two people are. And it's true. Some brothers might be light years ahead of us in their spiritual growth. And I've got a lot of things in my personality that I need to get rooted out. Pray and ask God to reveal those things to you. And he will show you. And I remember our sister Pat Miller saying that. She says, if you pray and ask God to show you who you really are, he'll reveal it to you, but you probably won't like what you see. And it's true. You don't like it. You don't always like it. So this account continues. Let's continue. Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. It says, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Verse 11. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man. And I want to stop here because, and this is the part I was talking about, we're not using this text for this reason, but it's within the text, so we must address it. The vast majority of Christians will jump on this verse, most people that I know will jump on this verse to try to prove that God's people can eat whatever they want, that our diet doesn't matter, that what the Bible says about the things that we eat and shouldn't eat don't matter anymore. And they use Jesus' words right here to try to spin that little tale. However, in the context, as we read through this, we'll see that this is not talking about what they eat. It is not talking about the food that they eat. I have to mention that. In context, we'll see what this is talking about as we continue. Okay? So keep in mind what Jesus is saying here. Let's look at it again. Verse 11, and remember what I just said. Verse 11 says, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. The next verse says, then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Well, of course they were. They were offended at everything Jesus said. Verse 13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. See, they didn't understand it either. They really didn't get it yet. So verse 16 continues. It says, Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So I ask you, in the context of this, is he talking about what they're eating? He's not saying to eat unclean things don't defile you. The context from the very beginning was they weren't washing their hands when they ate bread, right from the very first verse. So he finishes up by saying, look, it's not what comes off of the soil from your hands that defiles you. Because he says in verse 20, to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a person. I had to go there because it's part of the text. And this is so misunderstood. So many people jump on this and want to believe it for not what it really says, but for what they want it to say. And if we believe it that way, what spirit is working in us? Can't be God's spirit. So let's continue and think about what we're looking at here. Let's back up, because we're not talking about food here. We're talking about the condition of the heart. That's what we're talking about. Look at verse 18. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from where? The heart. And they defile a man. Verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. So the question is, what's in your heart? Or we could say, who is in your heart? Because if my heart is filled with my selfishness, with Mark Martin, if my heart is filled with me, I'm going to fall right into the category of verse 19. That's where I'm going to be. Because I'm going to live selfishly. I'm going to do all of the things that I want to do. But if my heart has Christ in it, am I really going to be doing any of these things? If your heart truly has Christ in it, it's impossible to do these things, wouldn't you say? If it truly has Christ in it, if Christ does the will of his Father, if he says, Father, not my will, but yours, and the Father grants him his will, is Christ going to do anything contrary to what God wants him to do? It's impossible. Remember, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. See, God wants your heart. He doesn't just want your heart, but he makes a provision for us to have Christ in our heart. He makes a provision for our hearts to be changed from what's here, what my motivation is, to have his motivation, to have the motivation of his Son, Jesus Christ. The motivation of Christ comes from his Father. He does nothing of his own will. Boy, I would love to be able to say, Father, I do nothing of my own will. I would love to be able to say that. Unfortunately, it's not true, because I'm selfish. God makes a provision for our hearts to be changed. And he promises to do this if we allow it, if we let him. I want to begin by looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6. We've looked at this text many, many times in the past, and we've talked about this text in almost every series we've ever done. And I'm going to read this from the modern King James Version. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the most sacred text to all Jewish people, to most of the Jewish nation. They would say, Hear, O Israel, Jehovah, our God is one Jehovah. They consider that a sacred text, the most sacred in their understanding. Verse 5, And you shall love Jehovah your God with all your heart. Not just with a little bit, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be on your tongue. Is that what it says? In your mouth. No, it says they shall be in your heart. And you shall carefully teach them to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Let me ask you something. If something's in your heart, do you tend to talk about it often? I know I do. When something's in your heart, you can't help but to talk about it. You might remember the first time you met your spouse. Your friends probably got tired of hearing you talk about your girlfriend or boyfriend. Enough. I know. I've heard all of these things. Why? Because that's what's on your heart. So if I have Christ in my heart, what am I going to be talking about? I'm going to be talking about his kingdom. I'm going to be talking about the promises that he's made. I'm going to be talking about what he's doing for me now, what he did for me in the past, what he's going to continue to do for me for eternity. if Christ is in my heart. So when it says, I command you this day that these words should be in your heart, in verse 6. Verse 7 says, and you shall carefully teach them to your sons. Now that's for parents, but it can also apply to me today. I don't have a son or a daughter, but what do? I try to teach people about the Father and His Son, about their commandments, about what they expect of us, about the gospel message. And you shall talk of them just once in a while, just when the urge hits you. Is that what it says? No, it says you shall talk of them in verse 7 when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. That's every minute of every day. That's in every action that we have. We should talk of those things. Don't shrink back. Don't be afraid to be bold and stand up and stand for what you know is right. And you can do it lovingly, but you can also do it boldly. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And we've talked about that in the past. You should see these things and be preaching in the things that you do and the things that you think. It should be right here, right in the forefront of your mind. And this text is what Jesus was quoting in Matthew chapter 22. In fact, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 22, if you would. Matthew chapter 22. And you'll see that Jesus here, he had been preaching. And he had been talking to the Sadducees. And he pretty much had put them in their place and told them about the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. And I have this little thing that I remember. You know, some people say, I can't remember, was it the Pharisees or the Sadducees who didn't know the resurrection? Right, and I used to always ask that question. So the way that I figured out how to know is the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection, and that's sad, you see. So that's a nice way to be able to remember that. So anyway, if we look here in Matthew chapter 22, thanks, Rick. Rick was saying, it's the Sadducees. Thanks for helping me with that. Matthew chapter 22, if you look at verse 34, it says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, this is Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. In other words, he wasn't asking him a question because he wanted to know the answer. He's prodding him. They're trying to get him to slip up. They're trying to get Jesus to make a mistake. And he says, verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, this is the text we just read in Deuteronomy, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. You see, we should love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and I think the NIV says, and strength. I believe it throws, I know there are Bible translations that say that. Love Jehovah your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and your whole strength. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? And if you really love something that much, you're going to be talking about it. You're going to be living according to the standard that has been set by the one that you love that much. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 says that out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. Isn't that true? What's in here is what we speak about. Have you ever known someone that'll say something, they'll say or they'll have an action, they'll do something or say something, and then immediately afterward or sometime shortly thereafter, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean that. And sometimes when they do that, they really mean, I didn't really mean that. But then a short time goes by, they're put back in the same predicament, and what happens? They do it again. And they do it again, and they do it again, and again, and again. Are they really sorry? No. I mean, this is what we're talking about here is biblical, friends. You know, when someone does this over and over and over, it shows what's in the heart. So the question is, again, how do we get there? How do we allow this power, the Spirit of Christ, His mind, His thoughts, how do we allow His Spirit into our hearts? How can we have a change of heart? Well, first of all, it begins with our relationship with God. I heard Rick and Mary talking earlier about their relationship during Sabbath school. Been married 12 years and something recently has changed to where, wow, now I understand that. That doesn't come easy. It doesn't just come with, I'm going to try to do better. It comes with, because they love one another, because they want to know each other, each of them trying to understand the other. And if they didn't spend time together, would they ever get to that point? If we don't spend time with someone, can we get to know them? It's impossible. Whether it's in person or on the phone or through writing, you can get to know people by writing, by talking on the phone, even though you've never met. Through the technology that we have today, it's pretty amazing how we can have conversations with people around the globe, get to know them. We've never met them. Maybe we've never seen them. And then when we see them for the first time, it's as if we've known each other. We've met 20 years ago because of the correspondence we've had. But that comes through a relationship. And if we're going to know and have Christ in our hearts, we have to have a relationship with Christ. It's not one way. It's not, well, Christ comes in and I'm good to go. It's not like that. In fact, the prayer of David in Psalm 51, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone and had a relationship with Bathsheba. Let's turn there, Psalm 51. Psalm 51, I want to share this with you briefly. When we look at this text here, we're really not going to read through this much, but I appreciate the things that David says. He recognized his wrong. And he breaks into this prayer, or you could say a song, because he wrote this with music, obviously. This was a melody that he writes to his Heavenly Father. And I want to pick it up here. Let's just read right from verse 1. Let's just start right there. And we may not read the whole chapter. Psalm 51, David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Blot it out. What's that mean? Wipe it away. Take away my transgressions. Verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions." There's a step, isn't it? "And my sin is always before me." Verse 4, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part you will make me know wisdom." You know, when he's talking about the inward parts, he's talking about deep inside. Deep inside. Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." And here it is. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." That's a beautiful text. Have you ever prayed that prayer? "Father, put in me a clean heart. Give me a new heart. Give me the mind of Christ. Not my will, but yours be done." You see, all of that begins with a relationship. And in our scripture reading that we had for today, Jeremiah 31:31, let's turn there. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. You know, God wants a relationship with each individual. And sometimes we might find that hard to believe. But he wants to save you. He wants to save everyone. He wants us all to be in the kingdom. Every person. Everyone who has ever lived, he wants there. And this is why he makes this provision. It's really wonderful that he makes this provision. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. And Jeremiah seemed to understand this. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, says Jehovah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Are we the house of Israel? All of the studying that we've done, we're in the book of Galatians, and as we'll see in the upcoming weeks in the Sabbath school, we'll see that we are the house of Israel. Because if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So this promise is for you and me and anyone who is Christ's. Anyone. Verse 32, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says Jehovah. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Jehovah. I will put my law," remember the law? He carved it in stone. "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." The beautiful thing about this, we've talked about this in the past, and you'll hear me say this over and over and over if we're here for years to come. The law hasn't changed, but where the law is has changed. The law is no longer, well, I believe it's still on stones, and I believe that those stones are in the Ark of the Covenant. In John's temple vision, he sees the Ark of the Covenant in heaven, so is it there? Could be. We've never found it on the earth. They still exist. But that doesn't save me. Having them written on my heart, that's what helps. That's what saves. Because if I have the law written on my heart, I'm going to be compelled. I'm going to want to do it. I'm not even going to think about those things that cause me to break God's law. So the law is no longer in the Ark of the Covenant for us to look upon. It's in this tabernacle. So that when God looks at me, what's he see? He sees his Son, Jesus Christ. Because I've got the law in here. So it's a beautiful thing when we think about these things and we look at them for what they really are. It all boils down to our relationship with Jehovah, our relationship with Christ Jesus. If I want a better relationship with someone, I must spend time with them. How do I spend time with God? Well, I'm at church every Sabbath, and I'm here every Wednesday. How would your friends like it? Or your spouse, I'll just use spouse because I think most of us here are or have been married. And how would our relationship go if we only had a conversation with them twice a week? Wouldn't be good. Wouldn't last very long. What about a meal? You know, we come here and we take in this, what we would call food in a spiritual sense. We're fed by God through the scripture. What if I only ate a meal on Sabbath and on Wednesdays? How long would I live? In time, I'd probably get very sick. You see, you have to have a relationship. Now, we can communicate with God through the avenue of prayer. It's a gift that he's given us. But how do we allow him to communicate with us? Is it only when we're here on Sabbath? Is it only when we're here on Wednesday? Or do we take a little bit of time, even if it's 3 to 5 minutes? Is that too much time to ask? 3 to 5 minutes. Make a goal and say, I'm going to take 3 to 5 minutes every day, and I'm going to read something from one of the Gospels. Start in John chapter 1. Start in Matthew chapter 1. It doesn't matter. You start in the Old Testament, wherever you want. Spend time praying and asking God to give you wisdom, and read something from the scriptures and see if that relationship doesn't grow. I guarantee it will. It will grow. How can I really know God if I don't have one-on-one time with him? I can't. It's impossible. Do I allow God to speak to me through his word, or do I already take what I know, I think I know, what I already think, what I already believe, and I read it and say, well, I already know what that means. I'm just going to stick to that because this is what I've always thought to be true. I did that for a long time. That's what the Pharisees did. I was a Pharisee. That's what you could say. I'm guilty of doing what they did. Well, I already know the answers to that. Let me see if I can trip somebody up with something. That's what they were doing to Jesus. We just read it in Matthew. Spending time with God should be daily, not just twice a week. And it goes into being even more personal. I'm really going to get personal for a minute. What do I watch on TV? What do I watch on YouTube? What kind of pictures am I looking at on the internet? What kind of websites do I visit? What kind of places do I go to when I'm away from church or away from town? Do I go to the bars? Do I go to places where if Christ were walking with me, would I walk into that place with Jesus and happily say, Lord, let's sit down and have a meal together. Let's sit down and watch this movie together. Let's sit down and look at this YouTube video together. Is that where I am? Or do I say, well, nobody's around, I'm going to do this because nobody knows. Oh, someone knows. Someone knows, not just you. The Bible says the eyes of Jehovah are upon us. He sees everything we do. All of our actions are being recorded in the books of heaven. What do we listen to on the radio? And what about the Sabbath hours? From sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, this holy time that God carves out, do I try to make excuses as to why I can turn the TV on and watch it? Do I really want the TV on during that time? These are just questions. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. These are just questions I'm asking you to ask yourself. A little self-examination here, because these are all things that I've had to struggle with, friends. And I'll be the first one to admit it. One place to start with our relationship with our Heavenly Father is try sometime. Take a few Sabbaths. Take a month of Sabbaths. Say, okay, for the month of June, beginning today, I'm not going to turn the television on, anything secular on Sabbath. Now, if there's a nice, maybe there's a sermon I want to hear, maybe on some network, some pastor that I know, because I do enjoy watching sermons sometime. We have to be careful with that too. Maybe I can turn on YouTube and watch a sermon from a ministry that we know is preaching Bible truth. These are all healthy things. But to leave the news off, leave the secular music off, turn the TV off, spend that time with your Heavenly Father. Think about your entertainment during the week. You know, I was thinking just the other day, if I have to tell you, Ron and Pat Miller came to visit me in the hospital, and I was really touched by that. And Pat is near and dear to everybody here, I would say, everybody that knows her. And I was thinking, you know, if she came over to my house and I were going to watch a program, are there certain things I wouldn't turn on because she was there? And if there are, what's that say about the things that I'm watching? Really? Because we all consider Pat to be a very godly woman, don't we? She has a relationship with God, and I think she would lay her life down right this second for her Lord and Savior Jesus. I think she would. So just ask yourself that question. Maybe that makes it a little more real to you. And how do we treat others as well? Are we constantly having to apologize because I've said something that I might have offended you? And then I do the same thing over and over and over. What's in your heart? That's the question we're answering here today. What's in your heart? Because the actions that we have speak louder than words. How many times have you heard that? Actions speak louder than words. So try to take time for personal study, for prayer. Just a couple of minutes a day. And you know what will happen? Eventually you're going to find that it's going to grow. You're going to find yourself saying, oh, I need to find more time. I need to do this more often. I need to get the Bible. Sabbath is a great place to start because we're already in holy time. We're already in holy time. Now, at the outset of the sermon, I mentioned how Ed and his friend who invited him to a movie, they both felt uncomfortable. They felt uncomfortable. And after they had watched the movie, they said, you know, I don't watch things like this. They both agreed. And they both, I'm sure, I know of Ed at least, wished he had spoken up beforehand. So how do I get there? We just talked about it, didn't we? By allowing Christ into my heart. See, if I let him into my heart, I can prevent these things. And you can head them off before they happen. But we have to know who we are letting into our heart. If it's not Christ, who's going to fill that void? The devil will do it. You see, we get to know him through a relationship, not just 2 days a week. You know, I was thinking about it. When I was in school, I'll never forget, we used to get homework almost every day. And when I look back and I think about my grades in school, you know, I was the type of person that I've always felt like I could probably do pretty much anything I wanted to do. I know I could have been a straight A student if I'd applied myself. But I never did my homework. I did enough to get by. And I know we have a teacher here. I'm sure you have students that are that way. You look at their potential and you say, wow, this person could do so much better, but they're just doing enough in the classroom to get by. Are they ever going to excel to the point that they can unless they apply themselves beyond just enough to get by? It's not going to happen. They have to want to do it. They have to apply themselves to do it. So apply ourselves as far as possible to a relationship with our Heavenly Father. You get out of it what you put into it. It's the same with school. You get out of school what you put into school. It's the same with any relationship. The relationship with my wife. I wouldn't be married for 31 years this year if we hadn't put something into it. It takes effort. Every relationship takes effort. Perhaps we don't spend the time with the Father and Son because we don't know them. My plea to you is to get to know them. The invitation is there. A closing text. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 3. And there's a lot to this chapter. I'm not going to read the first part of it. But I think if we begin in verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, I think everyone here will appreciate this text. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. And then it's quoting from the Old Testament here, from the Psalms. It says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him speak peace and pursue it. And there it is. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And verse 13, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, and they will if you're doing what's right, they're going to defame you and they're going to make it look like you're doing what's wrong. Those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So friends, when I read this text, when I thought about this sermon, when I thought about Ed's decision, I think we all know that Ed looks back at that and says, I wish I'd have got up. I wish I would have done what I was supposed to do. I know he thinks that. He's told me, I should have gotten up. But you know, that was a lesson learned. God's already forgotten about that. Ed hasn't. But now what do you think will happen the next time? He's going to stand for what's right. And that's what this is saying. God's open to our prayers. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to be able to be in our hearts through His Son, Christ Jesus. So what's in your heart?
Friends, I apologize for that noise that the mic was giving us that particular day. I'd forgotten about that. But I hope you enjoyed that sermon. I hope that it makes you think a little bit about what is in your heart. And hopefully we have the Spirit of Christ in us. So I hope you come back again next week. I hope it was an encouraging message. And let's just have a word of prayer before we sign off, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings you have given us in your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for examining us, for helping us to recognize our need of your Spirit within us. Father, we ask that you will be with us until we come together again. We need you in this time of trouble that we're experiencing in the world. So please give us a calm heart. Be with us until we come together again. We ask for a hedge of protection. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, I'm really glad you tuned in. Thanks so much for joining me here. I hope to see you next week. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.